You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Gnarly. I mean, I was opening up the pot of beans at my mom's house.
Yeah.
And then I burned myself. No, it's not exactly like that the way it went, but I'm like honestly overwhelmingly joyful. I know it's like a, did you hear how that came out? I didn't even know where it came from. The gods of the wordsmith gods have enlightened me, but I'm super delighted to have you here, and obviously, I mean, this didn't happen by happenstance. We didn't just like, or did we? We're at the bookstore, and then I go, hey, you're perfect for this.
Let's do
you
it.
You look like somebody I know. Oh my God, holy shit. And honest to God, you've been on a whole, like, a trajectory. Like, you're just killing it. Yeah. Guys, let me, you know, wait a minute, because it's fair to say you've been on Hulu, Netflix, recently on ABC, right? You got commercials under your belt.
Yeah.
God knows where this wonderful actress and producer is going. Her name, ladies and gentlemen, Thaisa Zweiter in the house. Drum roll, let me hear it. I think we blew Sam's eardrums. I'm terribly sorry, Sam. Let's give it up for Sam. He's the man. Sam the man. He owns his place. He's a producer. And he's also a great radio host. So look him. He's on LA Talk Radio. So the show is Almost Famous, Thaisa. Cool. How the hell have you been?
I've been good and hopefully almost famous.
Right. Yeah. No, wait a minute. You are. And I'm going to tell you why, but we'll get into when we start peeling at the layers slowly.
The onion.
I do. Yeah. I want to tell you that. So first off, I just want to say hi to my buddy, Ty, because he made this happen. Your hubby.
Yes.
Who is a fantastic a powerhouse of a musician. He's a
music composer. Yeah.
The guy does everything. He does scores for movie scores. He's currently, am I allowed to say that? Where he's studying?
Berklee School of Music.
You hear that, guys? Yeah. All right. So everyone that goes there is golden in my book, because I have met a few of my friends that have gone there, done pretty incredible things. And so is he. And so are you, which is, you know, why you're here. Oh, my God. So you grew up in Arizona?
No. So I was born in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
But
okay,
I grew up in Brazil. My whole family is Brazilian.
Jewish, Brazilian, Latina.
Jewish, Brazilian, Latina. Give it up. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. A hodgepodge. Well, welcome to our place here. I'm also mixed with so many bloods. It's fantastic to have you here because you are opening doors that obviously needed to be opened a long time ago. I mean, for just not just because you're Latina, but you're also mixed with so many bloods. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, a lot of women are really thriving. So I'm giving it up for women in general.
For sure.
And how much more the you know, underprivileged, sometimes disenfranchised, you know, that have like all the different bloods and stuff. Although you look very, very Caucasian.
I mean, in a way, that's a little bit of a crazy mix, right? But it in a way, it helps because I do tap into all those kinds of different roles with my acting. So I do get called in for Caucasian roles, for Latina roles, the Jewish roles. I get to go and play on all those fields.
You were in like a period piece.
I was in a period piece.
This is so rad.
Exactly.
But I mean, you're in the period piece, and I think it's called the first Oscar.
Correct.
Which is set in the 1940s.
Yeah, it's the story of how the very first Russian documentary got awarded their first Oscar.
1943.
Exactly.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yeah. And
I did my due diligence, guys.
Right. A little research, but this is cool because it was like based in a real story. Like, it's real people. So I got to play Irene Meyer Selznick, which is the daughter of the Selznick owner of the MGM, like the guy who started it all, right? With that. So it's pretty exciting.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah. Got to tap into a little bit of research for that role, which was really fun.
How do you prepare for your roles? Let's just start with that. How do you prepare for your roles?
Goodness. I mean, as much research as I can, if it's a real person, like in this case, if it's an imaginary person, then tapping into as much as of research that I can into the script, right? Because then the script is giving me all the information I need to go wild with my imagination, but like still honoring the script.
That's beautiful.
And
you don't want to mess with the writers.
not even that, but like they're giving you a gold mine of information of like what to do with the character. Like, so if you're thinking body posture, vocal, like range of like where does this character sit?
Right.
Then the relationship, that my character is going to have with the other characters.
Right.
I'm like basing all of that off of what the writers are giving me.
And then you flesh it out.
And then I flesh it out.
Hope to God that you did justice.
Then you get to wardrobe and then you get to makeup and all of that starts helping. Like
all the different layers. It's multidimensional.
Exactly. Adding that complexity to the character. Wow.
This is so great. And you're very versatile because I was looking at your reel and your reel is, it's pretty cool. Like every single character, it's its own character. It's not like, and no offense, Nicolas Cage or some of the actors that, Nicolas Cage in every movie, but you really have nuance. Like
I can be in everything.
Yeah. which
is exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
I mean, please compare me to Nicolas Cage any day.
Mr. Coppola.
Right? So
how important is it, like Thaisa, okay, how important is it for you as an artist, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How important is it for you when you see, like, you know, nowadays, for example, you have these complexities in society, right? Mm-hmm. Are you in touch? Do you have to be in touch with the political field, with the zeitgeist of the era? You know, what we're dealing with today?
I feel like there's a part of us that just humanity, like we want to be a part of everything, right? Like I do have interests in politics or in human issues that are going on around the world and all of that. But also just as a business person, businesswoman, I'm thinking like, no, we can have church and state,
right?
And I feel like my own personal beliefs or my own personal opinions don't need to interfere in where I am in the world as an artist. And if there are places that I would want that to mix, then I'm going to make that a conscious like decision hey, like I really want to tap into these kind of social issues or women's rights or whatever the case, whatever thing that I'm trying to bring into perspective for other people to hear on. Then I'll do it on like with care and because I think and with grace, because I think then all those issues, they deserve the right attention and the right
focal point
if I'm gonna bring them up. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
And also too, the more famous you get, the more you have, you're more like inclined to people wanting, especially in the age of media, you know, technology, what we have now. Cyberspace.
Yeah,
they're gonna want to know what does Thaisa think about,
right? And I think with that, then it's also a big responsibility, right? Like, not to quote Spider-Man here, but like with great power
comes great responsibility.
So it's like, like the more you grow in the media, and like if I continue get the more attention I have on me,
right?
Then the more responsibility I have to hold space for these political issues the right way and not just take it for granted and just say whatever I think
that
without thought or without care.
It has to be something that's marinating first in you.
Yeah.
That's the thing that probably is dear. Like a lot of artists, like I speak, you know, as one of the tribe, a lot of us, we feel as though we want to draw from our personal experiences for our personal emotions and like what we, our backgrounds.
Yeah.
And then we really want to make a conscious, like you said, decision, to then be able to be that that voice, that mouthpiece, if you will.
Exactly.
Because that's what we are at the end of the day.
Right.
Anyone that has a mic. And that's it. You know, I want to, because we can go here like for, it seems that we could do like 2 hours here. So I really wanted to get into, you know, I do want to like delve into obviously like, you know, your childhood. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about your baby, like the just your, you know, the brainchild of a group of you guys that came together with this concept for this movie called I'm Not Dead. I'm not dead. You're welcome.
Oh, it's a dark comedy. I am dead. Okay. I'm dead. Okay. You're welcome. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a dark comedy.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I am a little bit of a brainchild, I can't say that it was my inspiration. It was not. I give total credit to my friend J.R. Russell. He's the one involved in this. Yes. Also an executive producer in the project.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so it all started with his concept and what he wanted to build around like a group of friends. And what if everything just goes awry and now they have to deal with becoming more than friends and becoming a family and supporting each other through the loss of one of their own friends. Right. So it's a dark comedy.
So cool.
I don't like to reveal all the twists and the plot twists and stuff, but
I did some homework.
It's fun. The trailer's out there. Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram.
And it's going to be there's going to be a viewing pretty soon. They're going to have a screening in El Paso.
Yeah.
There's one at Cholo Film Festival, 18th through the 20th. October?
Yes. So that one is Sholo. It's in Arizona.
Okay, Arizona.
So that's the one that we're heading out
That's right.
Thursday. Yeah that's for, what you for mentioned. The festival.
Dude, you just caught me. Yeah. Caught me just when I was going to board the plane. I said, wait, hold on. So you got to do one more show before you go.
Exactly.
And what about the El Paso Film Festival?
El Paso just happened. El Paso was just like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We were one of the selected films, official selections, but you know, we didn't win an award for that one, but still just being an official selection is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
and it was our Texas premiere, which is
being
awesome.
In that draft with all the stuff going on. It's just gotta be a beast in and of itself. I noticed some pictures that Ty had uploaded and stuff. I thought, that's gotta be the coolest thing. When you step into now, you know, the role of an executive producer, and you're also in the film.
Yeah. And I'm also acting in the film. Uh-huh. And we're really excited. We won Best Comedy for the Flagstaff International Film Festival. That was in August. Mm-hmm. And then we just got notice that we got an award for Best Ensemble Cast with Indie Short Fest, which is awesome for the month of September. Yeah. And also our amazing makeup artist, Caitlin and Danilo.
Danilo.
Awesome. Shout out to them too.
Shout out.
They got an award for best hair and makeup for the film, which is awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
My God. How exciting, because it's like, it's every dream nowadays. You kind of have to do it all, right? What did you say?
Exactly. Like, well, and that's why we got together. So it was me, my friend J.R. Russell, and then I have Sandy Eels and Julia Lopriori, the other two actresses and also executive producers in the movie.
I don't know, you guys. You guys are pretty cool in this.
But the four of us as actors were like, hey, we got to stay creative. We got to stay sharp. This all came about during the strikes in the industry last year. So we were like, okay, like if the strikes are happening, but we got to just create our own thing. And we still used like union paperwork and because we're part of the SAG-AFTRA union. But we were like, okay, like this is, as an independent thing, it got approved to get going, and we did it. And then we were able to employ a lot of like the crew and below the line people that helped us make it happen and employ them during that time when they couldn't get any other work because, you know, all the other big stuff were shut down. It was really great experience, and can't wait to executive produce my next thing.
Yeah,
and,
you're ready. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like stuck, guys, on the 101 coming from Alhambra, California, and you're already here. You're like, dude, are you almost here? And it's like, I thought I was being directed in a movie. But no. But it's funny because you got here like a half hour before. So thank you so much again.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I noticed that a precursor to a lot of actors is like jobs, just like waiting tables and driving and that kind of thing.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
How does, you know, I mean, there is obviously, you're living proof of the fact that, and you're at a point where you're growing. Let's just put it that way. You're growing but it's steadily, and it's happening more so, more often than not. I'm like, dude, Ty's like, she's once again, she nabbed this. And then, you know what? She got that. I'm like, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that you keep booking. So congratulations. I just wanted to point that out. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. This year, a lot of great stuff has happened. I mean, right at the very end of the strikes last year, I ended up right away booking Quantum Leap And then right. that came out on NBC earlier this year. So
begs the question, how did you prepare to be a pregnant woman?
Oh my God, I know. Kids? Okay. Never been pregnant. I know. So, you know, that relies on a lot of imagination, a lot of like research, understanding how much the belly weighs and how like how your posture changes because of that. Right. Mm-hmm. And also it was a period piece because, yeah, it was set in the 80s.
That's right.
So also a little research of like, OK, how would I be the wife of this farmer and like.
Farmer Ted. No, it's just not Farmer Ted.
I think it was. Farmer Steve.
I was paying homage to to what's his name? Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
The geek from the 80s. Everybody knows I'm like a huge 80s fan. I grew up in the 80s. I was a kid in the 80s. And I watched those movies before I was supposed to.
Yeah. So you probably seen the original Quantum Leap too.
No.
No, you didn't. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. I didn't.
No.
But I was stuck in like, you know, the typical 1980s, 16 Candles, Footloose, yes. You know, all that stuff. So all that good stuff. And I want to tell you regarding, you just finished booking something like a couple of days ago, right?
Tell us about that. Well, okay. So, right. Okay. So Quantum Leap happened. Mm-hmm. That was earlier this year. Ended up booking something else right after. That's the one that's on Netflix. And I would love to, hey, everybody, keep an eye on my Instagram.
Yeah.
I'll be posting about it literally by the end of this week.
I can hardly wait.
I'm really excited. So this one, it's going to be a little special baby for me. Like I play a character that I've never played. So it's going to be one more that like when you're looking at my demo reel, you're going to be like, wow, she can literally be anything.
And how cool is that? Like when, you know, many times, like you ever played a villain? Ever?
Goodness. Well, no. So that's definitely still on my bucket list.
Okay.
Yeah.
So isn't it cool? Like when you played something that, you know, only in your mind and your wildest dreams you thought about becoming maybe perhaps in like another world, in another life. And then you're able to do it as an actor. You can flirt with that and actually do that kind of thing. Because I've talked to so many actors that have worked doing like villains and things that, you know, you're like a bad person in this. And people on the street will like throw stuff at them and I hated you in this.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, like, dude, I fantasized, like I fancied with it, but never in my wildest dreams would I imagine that I would really become this in the film.
Yeah.
And talk about imagination. So I totally see you as a.
Well, this one wasn't a villain, you know, but the villain is still going to be my bucket list item for sure.
Next time we have you on, you're probably, I'm sure you.
I'll book something else that's like a villain.
Now, I got to tell you, and I'm telling you, like, this is totally unrelated to, like, doesn't matter that, you know, the obvious, you're a great actress and actor, and you're awesome. You're my friend's. Wife, but independently of all that, I gotta tell you, props to you because you come through on the screen differently than most people. I think you've been told this before, huh? So what I'm trying to say is, I guess, is that like your very distinctive look. You got this look to you where your eyes, when you're looking, it's way different than a lot of other people. Like you get, you stand out basically in most of your stuff.
I'll take that. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Cool. And it's a good quality because when you probably test or like, you know, you have your auditions, they probably get a lot of callbacks.
Yeah.
A lot of callbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of good movement happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of my tapes getting sent to producers, a lot of my tapes getting pinned and then them requesting availability and all that stuff.
Yeah, you go on a veil.
The whole pin on a veil.
And you're like,
And I'm like, okay, am I going to book it? And then this it's a 50-50. Right. It's either me or another actor, right?
But it's great to be on a veil.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
One of four people or three.
Right? Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
And then thinking about like something that like I pretty much almost booked but didn't book was earlier this year, I was up for an Apple TV show.
That's cool.
And I booked it. But then I was already on set, literally Vegas.
An Apple TV?
In Vegas for a feature film that I just shot. And that one, when it comes out also, it's going to be amazing.
It's got pretty cool actors.
Cool actors in it that I was like, oh my God, like I get to work with all of you. Like,
you were like, hey, do you ever get like at this point, because my show is almost famous. So it begs the question, do you ever go out somewhere and people are like, I know you. Because I just finished saying you have a distinctive look and you do.
Right. Okay. I had that happen to me only once ever. And it was at the post office. Okay. And I'm literally just giving out the mail, whatever. Like I'm putting it in. And the lady was like, I feel like I know you. And this was actually before most of these TV bookings. So I was like, I don't think so. But I think it was like what you're saying, that quality of just something like in my eyes or
got the it factor, as they would say, right?
I guess so. Yeah. That energy, sparks, like that energy, I guess. Sure.
let me ask you this. It's more personal because, you know, I feel like obviously I've known your husband for a very long time. He's going to be coming by on next month or 2 months rather. How did you two meet?
Oh, goodness.
You didn't expect these questions.
But this is going to be one of those like really, really cheesy Hollywood stories.
Love it.
We actually met on set and we had just moved to LA and we were both working on a TV show. And we were playing high schoolers. So they had us together for a scene where we're like dancing for a prom scene.
And we danced. Wait, you danced the prom
together?
To what song?
Oh goodness, I don't think
they actually had the song, even playing songs
or anything like because we're filming.
Right, you're filming, but after the fact, you know.
I don't think I ever watched it back. But yeah, like we danced prom, and that's kind of like how we met. So we're in a way Hollywood high school sweethearts.
Yeah, high school sweethearts.
Even though we met after high school.
That's so cool. My wife and I, shout out to my girl, Stephanie. She's probably watching.
Nice.
We had such a lovely time in went to Millie's Cafe.
And that
used to be a Hollywood hangout for a lot of people. We didn't go for that. I mean, we don't really, you know, it's just Echo Park has this thing about it. I used to live up the street. And I know you guys also spend time there a lot. So that place is really good. And we got to talking for about an hour.
Literally an hour, maybe two even. Yeah.
So you know how your husband and I met?
I think he told me.
Yeah, he told you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like also on set.
Yeah. Well, we went to an agency to do some background work.
That's what it is.
He was behind me and we started talking and then we just hit it off. He's coming in from Georgia or something. Like he says, I moved from Georgia up here like a week ago, he told me.
He moved from New Jersey.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's from Illinois originally, lived in New York, then lived in New Jersey, and then moved here.
Okay, so I had that part wrong. But he's like, hey, dude.
But pretty much like just moved here.
just right off the boat. I go, you're just off the boat? And he was like laughing, He goes, we went and had coffee, and then we stayed in touch, and then we wouldn't for a long time. And then he goes, dude, I got married. What the fuck?
Yeah.
When? You know, when did you get married? Like, oh, bro, I got married. It's been a minute. And you guys lived out in like Ontario area, like somewhere really far.
And then
he says you're moving back into LA, like somewhere, you know. But at any rate, that's how your husband and I met many, many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
And it's just so great that, you know, we just recently went to I'm gonna show off my crisp Spanish. You speak Spanish too.
A little.
So we went to Tacos. Mi Sinaloa.
Okay.
And Mario Lopez recommended those. Not to me per se, but to a lot of people. And we went. And so I told them I had been there once before. And I go, let's go. The only problem with that place, guys, please, you need to create parking spaces. There's no parking whatsoever.
I mean, what's up with LA? Like, that's like everywhere, right? It's like no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Like, you can't find parking.
Yeah. We had to like literally take an Uber all the way down to the place.
you park somewhere around the neighborhood and then you get an Uber from whatever you are to the actual
place. And
they're
home to God that nobody else has to hop on. Wait a minute, this is a carpool?
but life in LA. that's so
no
true.
Figure, right? But we ended up, we parked across the street. Thankfully, both of us found a spot and we got to the place and we had a good time. And there's some talks about writing something. There's somebody that might be writing something for us and stuff. So it'd be cool. So maybe you're going to, can you say yes before you even read the script?
What? What's going on?
We're the throes of, somebody's the throes of writing a script.
Okay. That's exciting. I don't think I can say yes before reading it though.
Well, This guy's supposed to be pretty cool at writing.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But anyway, yeah,
I'm excited.
I'm sure I'll let him update you on that when the time comes. Okay, if you were, I ask everyone because it's very important to ask people. Here today, we're human, and we desire different stuff. Like we're growing up, it wasn't all. I mean, for us, show business is where we love to be on stage.
Yeah,
and some people, it was this really thing that just landed on their laps. Like suddenly I became an actor.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have done anything else, what would it have been? What would you have done different career-wise?
I mean, I was already in college when I decided to be an actor. And so I was in college to be a nutritionist. Okay. So I guess I would have been a nutritionist. but the acting bug called in and was a stronger venom in my bloodstream.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just couldn't. DNA, yeah. It's in the DNA. I can't escape it.
Did I tell you recently through my DNA, I found out a while back that my father is related to the great Maria Felix, who was a big time actress in Mexico.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's wild, but it's really true. Like we were like, oh my God, my dad, my grandma, my father used to always, you know, shout out to my dad, Francisco Felix Mesa. Yeah. He always says, you know, I'm related to this lady. And I said, that could not be farthest from the truth. You are not related to her. He's older. So I'm like, okay, whatever. All these years, he kept telling me. And I said, Dad, this isn't true. That explains probably now why I always have an inclination towards anything in the arts, like whether it be music or, you know.
Yeah, I think I got bit, like, if we're talking heritage or something, like, I think it was my aunt.
Your aunt.
Shout out Adriana. Yeah. she's the one that, like, growing up, like she was so artistic. She was very performative. Uh-huh. And I think that inspired me too.
That is so awesome. So you'd have been a nutritionist. So you learned, you have pretty much the background in nutrition, right?
Yeah, all of the basics. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was like a year away from graduating, really.
You're a year away and then something like,
well, and I'm like,
are we allowed to say, or how did it happen? You just...
I one day, like,
somebody called
told my aunt. Mm-hmm. I told my aunt and I was like, hey, I want to take these acting classes. Like, I don't know how to tell my dad or ask my dad. I think he's just going to say no. Uh-huh. He's not going to do it and pay for it or anything. And I needed help. And so she was like, well, you're my great, how do you call it? Goddaughter, mm-hmm. right? In English. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm your goddaughter. You're my goddaughter. And so she was like, no, I got you. Like, this will be a birthday present for you. And so she signed me up for those acting classes. And that's kind of how it went. And then I was like, okay, like.
And the rest is history.
I think I don't need to be doing nutrition anymore. And then I signed up for extra, like, artistic classes in college. And I was like, okay, I think I'm changing my major. I think I'm changing everything.
Cool.
Like,
you fell in love with it. Exactly. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And then do you have any tips for people that are watching actors? A lot of people that watch in terms of, I mean, yeah, you're gonna go through the whole process of it, but like even learning lines and stuff. What works for you?
I mean, I'm very visual. Mm-hmm. So I like being able to look at the script.
Yeah.
So as I'm memorizing it, I know a lot of people can be very good with auditory. Mm-hmm. So they'll record themselves saying the line and they can just play it back and they'll memorize it that way. I, for the life of me, cannot. Like, I have to be looking at the page and then somehow then closing my eyes and I like see the lines across my eyes because I just saw it in the page too.
That's so cool.
It's kind of like a visual thing for me for sure.
That's very cool.
But yeah, test it and figure out like how
you're
how,
an auditory or a visual
person. Another tip, I guess, would be I like, again, because of the visual thing, I go through all the words and I write down right next to it the first letter of each of those words.
Oh, wow.
So then if like it's I love you, it's then I would write ILY. And then I start writing everything down. And so then I cover the lines and I'm just looking at the first letters.
Beautiful.
And then I'm like, okay, like I remember ILY. So it's I love you. Okay, good. And then the next line and the next line and the next line.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
But it's a process. Like you got to take time and you got to like, when people say like it takes effort to be an actor, like that's what it means. Like it takes hours and hours spent like developing your skills of memorization and then also developing your skills of interpreting the text and script analysis and all of that. So
very important. What did you study?
Oh, goodness. I've studied Anthony Mindel Actors Workshop here in L.A. I've studied with Margie Haber. I've studied with Wendy Davis. I studied with an actor as well in Atlanta, Alex Collins. I've studied with a lot of these major teachers out here in LA, but then I've also studied with a lot of like actual working actors. Good. Because I think like when you're learning like straight from the source,
right,
I think it really helps. And I think that's why for me, Wendy Davis and Alex Collins, for me, because they're both actual working actors as well. For me, I just,
that's like fantastic.
Suddenly they could explain things to me in a way that really made sense and resonate better than all of the techniques or the books and Uta Hagen and Meisner and all that stuff that I would learn from those other teachers. Mm-hmm. Just hearing it from a working actor, like I was like, ah. I get it now.
It all kind of ties in together. Yeah.
Well, and also I think all of that foundational work then only made me better to prepare to understand than what the working actor brain was.
Most definitely.
So it's definitely a combination of both.
And you have like a toolbox of sorts with everything you learn. Exactly. You can't unlearn it.
Yeah.
It just adds to it. Layers to it. Okay. And how do you grapple with, if ever, I wouldn't call it failure, but with challenges?
It's challenges. I mean, we all have challenges every day. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's the bigger challenges are usually when we're expecting something and then it just doesn't go the way we're expecting.
Right. So that's what I meant, like right at the beginning.
Right. And so for me, it's just like, okay, expect nothing.
And when
maybe just expect nothing good to happen. And then if anything good happens, you're like,
when we start as actors, when we start, a lot of times you don't get like, you know, you get a lot of doors shut in your face kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of rejection. Uh-huh. I mean, even at the level I'm at right now, it's like a lot of rejections. Like you're constantly just putting tape after tape. And I think it's just making sure. Staying the course. Like having also your foundational support, your family, your friends. Like if I'm feeling sad, I know I can call my brother and I'm like, hey, like, bro, talk to me. Like I want to give up. And he's like, no, don't give up. You're almost there. And look at all this stuff that you've accomplished this year. Yeah. Like look at this and look at that. And so it's like remembering to also celebrate every little single win.
That's huge. Wow.
Because it could seem so small for me at this point in my life, but like, okay, like maybe Thaisa 5 years ago, that could have been the biggest win of her life that time.
It's all optics and perspective.
Exactly.
Huh?
So you got to remember like, okay, no, but where did I come from? And like staying grounded in that. Yeah. So you celebrate every moment.
Every moment. And let's talk about go back a little bit. Your childhood in terms of growing up, what was that like in Brazil?
It's so good.
Really?
I mean, it was great. Like I love my family. I love my parents. I think they're just wonderful people. And I think I'm very grateful for that. You know, I don't take it for granted because I know how many people have grown up in very difficult family, you know, situations. And I'm
so you didn't grow up like in the hand to mouth kind of situation. You grew up in a kind of middle, would you say upper middle class sort of family? Or?
I would say middle, like not even middle upper or anything. Very, very middle. I also think like, if anything, like my parents did shield me and my brother from any financial difficulties that they might have been going through. So if there were any, I wouldn't even know. Like I didn't get anything just handed to me. Like I remember moments where I wanted things and my parents were like, no, you're not going to get that. But they didn't necessarily say that it was a financial issue. So it was just like, no, like we can't get everything that we want in life. And that's also part of like, I think why nowadays me being able to handle rejection is also something I've learned.
That's huge.
Which
you just touched on is huge because that's very true. A lot of people can't handle it now.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is due to our upbringing.
Yeah.
It comes down to that. Upbringing. It really starts at the house.
Well, but I think also too, there's a lot of like just social media culture nowadays is different. I mean, I want to have kids eventually, but like, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot harder to be a parent now than it might have been for my parents back then. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like comparing.
But, out there. That's why.
But exactly, yeah. Because there's just so much and the kids are bombarded with everything. And everything is just so easy, right? Like at the tip of your fingers yeah. when you're just tapping everything on a phone and that
gratification, the instant gratification.
That's how TikTok works. That can mess up, right? But that messes up with your psyche. Like it's psychological.
Yeah.
Right. How do they call it? Like Pavlov almost.
Yeah. Like Pavlovian. Like
you're just like, I need to post something so I can get the likes. And then once I get the likes, then I get my dopamine injection into my brain. Yeah. You know?
Ain't that the truth?
And I feel like that's such a harder.
In life, it's not the way it works. It pans out. If you want long-term success, it's not how it works.
It's not instant gratification, for sure. Not,
you know? Yeah. And that's it. Do you own TikTok? Are you like on TikTok?
I am on TikTok. Yes. It's the same handle as my Instagram, but.
Go ahead. But, let them know right this instant. Yes.
Well, it's just my first name and last name. So Thaisa Zweiter. I'm a millennial. I do not understand TikTok.
No?
I mean, I'm getting there. I'm learning. Okay, I'm like a little bit.
I'm going to trip your mind out.
Technologically.
I was out in like challenged. Someplace out in the valley. And there was this like 60-year-old man and 60-something.
Yeah.
And he was on TikTok and he was going rapidly. Yeah.
I'm sure.
I was like, dude, this is so rad. Yeah. Like, there was a 60-something-year-old cat. Can handle this thing way better than myself.
Like, I know. Too.
Like, that is insane.
I know. Yeah, really? I know. Anybody can come follow me, but like, I just can't guarantee that I'll be as interesting as.
Well, so are you saying
some
like
60-year-old in the middle of nowhere?
Okay, but he was like, to be fair, I don't know if he was having a conversation to the phone. Like, he was talking to someone and just like, hey, you know, this is that. And I was like, dude. Yeah. I was crazy. It's like practically making love to the phone.
That's hilarious. Literally
kiss the phone. That's the next thing. No, but he was really into TikTok and he was like so into it. I thought this is pretty cool. Like,
I mean, that's the other side. That's the other side of social media. That's like fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite cool. Like, and you can open yourself up to so many other cultures and points of views.
Sure.
Very quickly. It's like what we're talking about, the being at the tip of your fingertip.
Mm-hmm. So that's the upside. Let's talk about the upside.
Yeah. Like you can learn a lot. You can see cultures that normally it would take a whole TV show or a movie to get produced for you to learn about somebody else's culture in a different country or something, if that was the story of the movie.
Right.
And now I can literally be following anybody across the world and learning about their culture.
That's international.
Exactly.
It's like the Beagle Live. I don't know if you're familiar with Beagle Live. You know, I had Perez Hilton on.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So shout out to Perez Hilton. He's like an institution, this guy. Quick with the tongue, you know, quick with it. So be careful if you're doing any wrongdoing out there, guys, because Perez Hilton, he's got his finger on the pulse, you know. Yeah. So he's quick. But anyway, he's judging the Beagle Live app. Talent show. They're having a talent show tomorrow night. It's gonna be live streamed through Beagle Live, and you just get on an app like you would download it into your phone, and then you're able to watch this and maybe even like vote. And I had this. I went ahead and then I was able to like I did my due diligence. I was looking around to see like these contestants. I had like one of 10 huge contestants. Her name's they have like tag names, like pseudos. Yeah. And it was pseudonames. I can't say you're so Kardashian or something. So Kardashian. I really like Such a Kardashian. Sorry.
Such a Kardashian.
Such a Kardashian. So go follow Such a Kardashian on Instagram. And I had a little back and forth, 10 minutes. I learned so much from it. It's just really like it was palpable. You know, like the way we're talking here, I felt that through the magic of the screen. It was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, in every way possible.
Yeah.
So she's one of the 10 contestants. And so if you guys go to Beagle Live, I decided to plug that in right now.
That's cool.
Beagle Live app, just download it. But I want to spend a little time because I'm a huge, I don't know if you knew this, but my wife and I just wanted to go see Iron Maiden. Mm. Huge heavy metal fan. I'm Love like, I wasn't around in the 80s. Like, I wasn't like a teenager.
My cousins are very,
right?
Yeah.
But my uncles are metalhead. So yeah. I really like, I've always liked metal. I used to be afraid of Eddie, the character, you know, that Eddie, it's like Iron Maiden's whole emblematic thing is like this character comes out in Eddie. And the music is like kind of surrounding this Eddie guy. And every time they go on tour, he looks different. You know what I mean? Like it's so thematic.
Yeah.
So anyway, Eddie, I used to be afraid of Eddie. It was like the devil when I was growing up. I was like, right. Oh my God, it's the freaking poopy man, it's the devil. It's scary. So I didn't listen to the music. But then years later, I was like so infatuated to my wife and I want to go to Iron Maiden. I want to make the connection with Motley Crue. Because you, Missy, you played Maureen in Pam and Tommy, if you guys haven't already seen it on Netflix.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your character.
Well, that was a great project. A few years ago. I got the pleasure of working with Paul Van Victor. So I played his secretary. He's the main lawyer assigned with Pamela Anderson's character, right? Oh. Like Pamela Anderson, Lily Collins' character. And so I play his secretary. And it's like it's right at the very turn when Pamela Anderson realizes that she is the one that's going to get sued and it's her name on the whole paperwork, not necessarily Sebastian, Tommy Lee, which is Sebastian Stan's character.
Pretty good. Justice.
The
name.
It was a great project. It was my very first TV show. So awesome. It has a very special place in my heart.
That's so cool.
That's one of those I've been there. I've done that. look at me. Now I'm growing.
You have a string of hits, man. It seems like it's so great.
Well, and this is what's wild. Yeah, it's like for my very first TV show to have been such a big hit miniseries because everybody watched that show. Everybody was on it, talking about it.
So insane. Sensational.
Very sensational. It literally reached every corner of the world and people were talking about it. So, it was a very, very project to be a part of.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's so great. Yeah. Thaisa, I have a couple more minutes here with you. Where did time go? Right.
Seriously. don't we have another half hour? What's going on?
Oh my God. Any future projects that you could talk about or not?
That I could talk about. Well,
you just booked a couple commercials, right?
Yeah. So I just booked a commercial. So I was literally on set, like had my fittings last week. I was on set during the weekend. I'm excited to see when that comes out. It's a really fun. I actually speak a little Spanish in that one.
What?
So that's going to be a fun commercial when it comes out. And then literally the Netflix one, it's coming out this week. So,
Make sure you go to Instagram to follow you.
Exactly. And then the one movie that I shot earlier this year in Vegas, that's probably coming out later next year.
So you should just follow you on Instagram.
Just follow me and I'll be posting about stuff as they come out and as I can.
Yeah. That is so wonderful. I had such a wonderful and privileged moment couple of sound bites that we were able to exchange and that it made my day. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. No, ladies, seriously, thank you for having me. Yeah.
So next time, guys.
See ya. Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza only on LA Talk Radio.